بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسول النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. يا مابان Honorable ulama, respected elders, dear brothers in Islam, the very famous surah which I've recited in the khutbah today, this will be the focus of discussion this Jummah inshaAllah ta'ala. This is a very significant surah of the Holy Quran. It is reported regarding this particular surah that once a person, a sahabi, an elderly man, came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulallah, give me a few surahs of the Holy Quran which I can read often and reflect on the meaning. Because I am an elderly person and for me to read all the verses or surahs of the Quran, it is difficult. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, then take the three surahs that start with Alif Lam Mim. Any three surahs that start with Alif Lam Mim, we know Surah Baqarah starts with Alif Lam Mim, Surah Ali Imran starts with Alif Lam Mim, Surah Sajdah starts with Alif Lam Mim. Take any one of those surahs, three surahs, and hold fast to those surahs. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I am too old. This is difficult for me. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, then in that instance, take any three surahs that start with Hamim. There are several surahs in the Holy Quran that start with Hamim. Take any three of those surahs. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm too old. That is also difficult for me. Give me something even easier. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, then if that is difficult for you, then take surah Iza Zulzilatil Ardu Zilzalaha. Take this surah and read the surah and reflect on the surah. There is enough guidance for a person to read and reflect on the surah of the Quran. Furthermore, regarding the fazilat and virtue of this particular surah, it is mentioned in a hadith sharif that إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ تَعْدِلُ نِصْفَ الْقُرْآنِ. In terms of ajr and reward, this surah is equivalent to half the Quran. Person recites the surah once, it is as though he has achieved or received the reward of reciting half the Quran. Therefore, amongst the surahs that we recite when we go to the Qabrastan and make Isal al-Sawab for the deceased, we should also read Surah Izazul, because it's also a reminder in there about the Akhirah, and it is also a means of conveying a lot of sawab to the deceased in a short period of time. We are living in the age of the microwave, we are living in the age of the Sputnik, we are living in the age of space travel and satellites. So everything is happening very fast. So Isal al-Sawab also, we want to read short surahs because we got such a hectic life. So these short surahs, we read, the time is little that is involved and the reward is great that is conveyed. And there is one particular ayat in the surah, my dear brothers. This ayat is so comprehensive. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has referred to this ayat as Al-Fazatul Jami'ah. This is the most unique and comprehensive ayat in the Holy Quran. Who is none other than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is referring to that particular ayat. that there is this ayat in Surah Izazul that he refers to as Al-Fazatul Jami'a. It is a unique ayat and it is a very comprehensive ayat. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say that there isn't any ayat in the Quran that is more comprehensive than this particular ayat. It is said about Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, the great scholar, great Sufi. All the Sufi silsilas go back to Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi. He used to say that this one ayat, a person was reading Surah Zilzal and he came to this ayat, he said, enough, this one ayat is sufficient for the hidayat and guidance of a person. If he takes this ayat as his motto, his slogan, his mission statement, vision statement, call it whatever you want. If he makes this his very focal point in his life and he focuses on this ayat every day of his life, it is sufficient for his hidayat and guidance. So let us just have a quick overview of the surah, my dear brothers, in the limited time that we have before us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, when the earth will be shaken violently with earthquakes. Most of the commentators of the Holy Quran say that this refers actually to the day of Qiyamah, when Qiyamah will be heralded in and this entire universe will explode and it will implode and it will be destroyed. At that point in time, this is what will happen. The earth will shake violently. There will be such violent earthquakes that not a single structure, not a single building, not a single mountain, not a single hill, not a single hillock will remain on this earth. The earth will become absolutely flat. Because that will be the Maidan of Hashar. There won't be a single hill or even a mountain or anything. The Maidan of Hashar will be one flat Maidan. Everything will be flattened to the ground. When we look around us and we see all these high-rise buildings, many a time the person gets impressed. People go overseas, Dubai, here, there. They're talking about the boom, the oil boom. Now the oil price has gone through the ceiling. So there's the oil boom. And trillions of dollars are being invested in these countries and people are putting up skyscrapers left, right and center. They're competing with one another in putting up high-rise buildings. Somebody put 101 stories, then they say we'll make a building that will be 110 stories. And the next person says I will make my building 115 stories. The next one says we'll make it 120. And one building at this moment in time, they don't even want to tell the world how high it is, because they say if somebody beats that record, then they will add more floors so they can exceed that. Some brothers requested when I was visiting Dubai recently, our South African brothers there, alhamdulillah, requested a program, a talk. So alhamdulillah, most of the families got together. There were about 80, 90 families. And they requested some nasihat and advice. And one of the brothers asked the question that, what is the impressions? You visited Dubai, what was your impressions? So I told him, my dear brother, if you people want to know my true impressions, then one thing I can tell you, that very clearly I have seen here the alamat and signs of Qiyamah. What Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking about 1400 years ago, with your own naked eyes you can see it happening here. Because that very famous hadith that comes in Bukhari Sharif, which is called the Umm Sunnah, like we have the Surah Fatiha is Umm Al-Quran. This hadith is called Umm Sunnah because all the comprehensive teachings of Islam are in one hadith. It's called Hadith of Jibreel also. Where Jibreel alayhi salam came towards the latter part of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi salam. And he posed some questions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is very long. I don't want to go into the details of that particular hadith. But it's a most unique situation where he walked into the masjid. A man walks in, stranger, absolutely spotlessly white clothes, as pitch black hair, not a sign of safar or travel on his body. Normally when a person would travel through the desert in those days, he would be covered in dust. And his hair would be disheveled. And You could see this is an outsider, but this was a stranger with no signs of travel on him. Very handsome and good looking. And he walks right through the gathering of Sahaba-e-Kiram. He doesn't look left or right, and he comes and sits right in front of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who had the courage to do such a thing? He joins his knees with the knees of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he starts asking questions about Islam, Iman, Ihsan. And furthermore, after every question, when Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives the reply, then he says, Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. The Sahaba-e-Kiram were completely mesmerized by what they saw. This is a most unusual thing, somebody to ask Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam such questions so blatantly, and then to say on top of it that yes, what you're saying is correct. One of the questions he asked Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was regarding Qiyamah, when it will come. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who's asking the question doesn't know, just as the one who has been asked the question. So he said, if you don't know the answer, then amaratuha, what are the signs of Qiyamah, O Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Say about the signs of Qiyamah. And in the signs of Qiyamah, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, an talid al amatu rabbataha. وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتِ رِعَاءَ الشَّاي يَتَتَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. You will see those people who were the grazers of animals in the desert, people who were barefoot, people who hardly had basic clothes to wear, people who were in poverty. يَتَتَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. They will be competing with one another in the construction of high buildings and high-rise buildings. I explained to those brothers, go back to the history of this country, Dubai, that you are here now. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, before the oil boom, what were the local people of this country doing? They were basically people who were farmers grazing their camels in the desert. In a short period of time, their fortunes have changed. The very same families who were the grazers of animals in the desert, who were barefooted, who hardly had basic clothes and food to eat. Today they are competing with one another in putting up high-rise buildings. They told me 20% of the creeds of the world are at the moment in Dubai putting up high buildings. My dear friends, we get carried away, we get impressed by these things, but remember one thing. Just think about the fact, when Qiyamah is going to come, when that earthquake will come, not one of those buildings that are so impressive to us today will be standing. Everything will be flattened to the ground. That is why they say, insan, reflect on the reality of dunya. Reflect on the haqiqat of dunya. What is the reality and haqiqat of dunya? Everything is dust. Everything in this dunya is dust. Minha khalaqnakum. وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. Allah Ta'ala is reminding us even at the time of the mayyat, and when we're burying the deceased person in the qabr. This is sunnat, and let us try to practice on the sunnat, my dear friends. A lot of people stand far away when the burial is taking place. I don't want my shoes to get dirty. I don't want my hands to get dirty. Don't be frightened, that very same dust that you don't want to come on your body today, you will be lying in that dust 6 feet below the ground. Then what will you do? My dear friends, the sunnat, masnoon, take 3 handfuls of sand and reflect on that reality. Unfortunately, there's no time even for reflection in the Qabristan. The cell phones are ringing on one side. People are asking the cricket scores. People are talking about the stock market. People are talking about the dollar price. People are talking about business. People are talking about everything else in the Qabristan. Let us at least make a resolution to ourselves that next time we go for any mayyat to the Qabristan, from the time we set foot in the Qabristan till the moment we leave, we'll seal our lips. Only thing that we will be doing is reading Quran and making isal sawab for the deceased and all the deceased in the Qabristan. Minha khalaqnakum. From this Allah brought, created everything in this universe, in this world. Dust. وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. You will be returned to that very same dust. وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. You will be taken out. So a wise person said that that big building that is impressing you, the reality of that building is it is dust that is standing upright. The other dust is lying flat on the ground in the desert. This is dust that is upright. Standing dust. We're getting impressed by dust that is standing. My dear friends, regarding the issue of earthquakes, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that closer to Qiyamah, one of the signs of Qiyamah is Kasratu Zalazil. There will be an abundance of earthquakes that will take place in the world. Every few days you will be hearing about an earthquake coming, and we're seeing it already. Allah make hifazat, Allah protect us. How many have not already gone past? At Qiyamah is coming closer. The more that Qiyamah comes closer, the more earthquakes there will be in this world. This is a clear-cut prediction of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What are the causes of earthquakes? What causes earthquakes to happen? Earthquakes, according to the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, happen particularly when two or three actions become very rife in the community. One, when immorality becomes rampant in the women folk, especially of the Muslim community, then that is an open da'wat and invitation to earthquakes, as it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to this effect that women, when they will start wearing see-through garments, and they will start revealing garments, and they will start applying perfume, and they will become free and intermingle openly with men, then that is an invitation to earthquakes. My dear brothers, for the Allah's sake, reflect on our own homes. Forget everybody else. Reflect on our own families. Reflect on our societies and communities. Are we heading in that direction or not? Take the weddings of today. Take the weddings of today. And look at the kind of dress and garments our women folk are wearing. So revealing. رُبَّ كَاسِيَاتٍ عَارِيَاتٍ مَائِلَاتٍ مُمِيلَاتٍ. The hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states clearly that the time is going to come when you will see women who are dressed, but in actual fact it will be like they are undressed. Because so much will be revealed. See-through garments. Such flimsy fabrics that you can virtually see through. One brother was telling me one wedding he attended recently. One of the women folk, Muslim girls, walked through open, upper body was virtually open. He says that even those people who are not really considered to be pious were embarrassed and everybody were looking down. Where have we gone, my dear friends? Where have we gone? Let us arrest this rot. Let us stop this before the warning signs come. The warning signs are already there. Nobody says that don't wear the best of clothes, but within the limits of the Sharia. And the free intermingling that is taking place. Alhamdulillah, we find many wedding functions now. Allah's fazal, they have the parda. They have the men separate. They have the women separate. At least that much consciousness has come in the community. Where before it was just a mixed function. All are sitting together and laughing and joking. But yet, there's still to be quite a bit to be desired. Because we find that parda is there, but a mockery is made of the parda in that the bridegroom now will go and sit next to the bride in front of all the women folk. And the best man will go and sit there, and his friends go and sit there. So what is the purpose of having a parda if the bridegroom and all, is he a mahram to all the ladies that are invited at the function? He is ghair mahram. The only person there is obviously his wife. Now nikah is over, so it is fine for him to be with her. But does it have to be in front of all those people? And then we appease our conscience that no, it's a parda function. Everything is fine. What is the need for the bridegroom to be on the side of the bride amongst all the women folk? It makes a mockery. And it puts those ladies who want to practice the hijab, it puts them into great difficulty and hardship. Now they have to wear their parda and eat the food and be part of the function. Let us put these things right, my dear friends. Let us get these things, the very first moment of that marriage, we're starting on the wrong foot. We starting on the foot of Allah's displeasure. Then we want to enjoy pleasure and happiness in our marriage. Allah is going to pull that carpet away. And we're going to fall hard. Then we run for help and assistance. There's this problem, that problem. Families are coming to blows. Talaqs are becoming rife. Talaq, a nikah took place at Asr time. By Maghrib time, talaq was given. It happened recently. Talaqs are becoming rife. One alim was just commenting recently. Where did we see, my dear friends, that the duration of the nikah is shorter than the duration of the iddat? That is where we have gone. In this case, in fact, it was such a situation that husband and wife were not even together. There was no question of an iddat also. One alim was commenting very aptly. We look at the Nasara, we look at the Jews, we look at other communities. They don't utter the words of divorce. They institute divorce proceedings. They go to a court, they sit in front of their lawyers, and then they work out a divorce package. What is wrong with us Muslims that we just want to utter the word of talaq without thinking? Why can we not go and sit in front of the ulama and ask them for guidance that, Maulana, there is this problem in our marriage. We have reached a point of no return and it looks like this marriage is not going to work out. Guide us, advise us how to go about issuing the talaq. But until we don't blurt out the words of talaq, 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 we don't fire the bullets, we don't get peace in our hearts. Allah give us hidayat, my dear friends. This awaz must reach the whole community. That too many problems are happening today. And the regret sets in immediately after that. Now they want to try and patch the problem up. They want to force the ulama to give a fatwa in their favor. One case, the man gave 3 clear-cut talaqs. We explained to him, brother, it is over. He says, no, I research on the internet. And according to my research on the internet, my marriage is intact. Now we have a new brand of muftis that have come about. The internet muftis. Everybody has become an internet mufti. He's taking his Islam, his masail, his deen from the internet. As though the internet is some kind of great mufti azam, some great mufti that is teaching us the masail. My dear friends, we told the brother, it is over. Explain to the wife, it is over. They refuse. 1.5 years has gone past. They are still living at husband and wife in absolute zina, in adultery. They simply refuse to accept the fact that talaq has taken place. How many cases talaq is over? It's done. Husband and wife are still living in the home. So dear friends, amongst the signs of Qiyamah will be the abundance of earthquakes. Another thing that is mentioned by Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is riba. When riba and interest becomes common in the community, then that is an invitation to earthquakes. How many of our brothers, wealthy Arab brothers and others, they got billions put in the banks and they're earning interest on that. There is no consciousness about all these things. The subject itself is getting left out, my dear friends. This ayat of the Holy Quran, the surah of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. I thought it was very important to mention this aspect. There are many other aspects, issues, factors that invite earthquakes, but inshallah that on some other occasion. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. Allah Rabbul Izzat says, when those earthquakes will take place, the earth will spew out. It will spew out all its khazanas and treasures. The earth is packed with khazana and treasures. أُطْلُبُ الرِّزْقَ فِي خَبَايَ الْأَرْضِ. The hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states that look for risk even in the depth of the earth. Allah has kept enough resources in the depth of the earth. The earth will throw out its treasures. Gold will come out, spew out from the earth. It is mentioned in one narration, pillars of gold, pillars of silver, diamonds, emeralds, sapphires, pearls, whatever precious stones we can think of. The uranium, platinum, All these things the earth will just spew it out and throw it out. And the murderer will walk past and he will say, what a shame, I committed murder for all this. Not a person will touch that because there will be no value of that thing. The thief will say, what a shame, my hand got cut because of this. The person who broke family ties because of this dunya and this wealth, he will say, what a shame, I broke ties, family ties because of this. No person will turn and look at the second time. He won't cast a glance at all that gold and silver. In this dunya, man dies for it. He kills for it. He gets killed for it. He kills himself for it. Maybe he doesn't get killed. People get killed with bullets and whatever. But sometimes a man kills himself. He works like a slave. He works like an animal. He strives so much to accumulate that dunya. Salat is gone. Ibadat is gone. Tilawat is gone. Family is gone. He sacrifices his food. He doesn't take a decent rest. He sacrifices his health. They say, we destroy our health to make the wealth. And then we use our wealth to restore our health. What a foolish person. What was the need for him to destroy his health to make that wealth? He should have looked after his health and acquired whatever was necessary of that wealth. But we will chase and chase and chase after that dunya. Salat after salat will be forgotten. Hukuk and rights will be forgotten. A relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become weak and slackened. None of these things will affect us so long as we can, you know, accumulate. My dear friends, that very same dunya that we were running after, chasing after, a person will spit on that dunya, he will kick that dunya, but it will be too late. They say, tarike dunya bano, matruke dunya mat bano. Become one who willfully forsakes the dunya. One who gives up the dunya of his own free volition, of his own free will. That means, doesn't mean now become a hermit and go and live in the mountains. But don't chase after the dunya at the cost of deen. Don't chase after the dunya at the cost of your health. Don't chase after the dunya at the cost of your family. Have limits. Give everything place in your life. Prioritize your life. Give first priority to akhirat. Give first priority to the important things in your life. And side by side, the dunya will also be there. My dear friends, time is running out. We are in a very crucial period of time. This year 2008, it is going to be a difficult year in many senses. We saw already how the year started off. So much of load shedding. We never saw, never heard this word before. Now it is on the tongue of every small child. Even children know now what is load shedding. Let us also start doing some load shedding of our own. Let us shed the load of gunas that we are carrying, my dear brothers. ESCOM is doing their load shedding. We must do our own load shedding in a spiritual sense. That shed that load of guna that we are carrying. That burden of guna and sins that we carry on our head. Make tawbah, istighfar, sincerely to Allah Ta'ala. And change our way of life. Inshallah Ta'ala, this load shedding will help us. We may be not having lights, but our heart will light up when we do this load shedding. Noor will come into the heart. Also, my dear friends, it is very, very important that to safeguard and protect ourselves from a lot of the afats and balas and calamities, political, economic, social, all these calamities that are just dangling over our heads. Give a lot of khairat and charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it is small, small amounts. This ayat that I was going to come to, that فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Little good deeds will count in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, one neki will count. Why will people run away from their brothers and fathers and wives and mothers and family? Why? Because they will be afraid that person will want to come and claim one good deed. One good deed counts. اِتَّقُ النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمَرَى. The hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I conclude on this here. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states that save yourself, O person, even if it is one piece of a khajur, not even the whole khajur. Khajur is big. One piece, break it in half and give one person half a piece and keep the other half for yourself, or give another person the other half. That piece of khajur could save you from the fire of Jahannam. If it has the power of saving people from the fire of Jahannam, then my dear friends, it will save us from the small calamities of dunya also, inshallah. So let us make a habit of giving small amounts of sadqa and khairat. People are starving, people are dying. Buy a person a loaf of bread, buy him a thing of fish, give him one apple, give him one banana, give people little things. This will go a long way to safeguard and protect us also. And at least it will help the man who's suffering, whose stomach is empty, who's suffering the pangs of hunger. He will also have the soft spot in your heart. Let it become a common thing now in our communities. Every masjid should have a small committee, group of brothers who say that we will make fikr for the people around us and try to see what we can do to alleviate the poverty and the hunger around us. Inshallah, if we do this, not only will we be filling the people's stomachs with food, but inshallah, it will become possible.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.